International, but it is Independent Baptist College of Ministry back in Kenya. And I also pastor a church there in Kenya called Bethel Baptist Church. And I am greatly honored tonight to be here. So thankful that the Lord has given me the opportunity to come and be able to fellowship with you tonight. And also as we sit around the Word of God together. Pastor Robert, right now, as you know, is in my country teaching our pastors there in our college. He has been there before, and he has been a great blessing. Thank you so much for allowing him to come over to Kenya to help us. That has been a great blessing whenever he comes to teach our people there and to teach us. I would also like to thank you as a church for sending us Brother Rick Simonson, Dr. Simonson, and Brother Michael Rains and Tina. They are a great blessing. We work with them and we love them. And they are in Kenya serving the Lord there as they serve our people. And thank you so much for sending them over to us. We are greatly honored and blessed by their ministry. As you know, Brother Dr. Simonson has been in the country, in our country for so long. We celebrate his 25th year in our country, serving there. And we are so happy about that. Also, I would like to just appreciate that I feel around God's people and in God's family. Just to see people here that I know have been to my country, like Brother Nathan Roberts, he has been to my country. He spoke there in our church, in our college. And also Brother Steve Rains and his wife, they have been to our college there and they spoke and taught in our college. It is a blessing to be able to be here. And of course, I appreciate Wesley and Johanna. They brought me up here from Baptist College of Ministry, and I am thankful. Tonight, I would like to share something from the Word of God, from the book of Acts. If you have your Bibles, please take them and turn there. I do appreciate the privilege that I've been given to be able to speak tonight, and I am very thankful. So if you have your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter number 16 is where I'm going to be speaking from. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. I am going to read from verse 1 through verse 10. The book of Acts, chapter number 16, verse 1 through verse 10. I'm going to read. I'm going to read aloud. You can read quietly along with me as I read. The Bible, the Word of God, says there in verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe," that is talking about Paul, "he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they are sealed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let us pray together, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness. I pray now that you may bless our time together and address our needs as you know them from your word. And God, I request you that you may use me despite me. And may you exalt Christ among us, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Acts, Tonight I'll be talking to you about the right spirit of serving God or doing ministry. The right spirit, or the spirit of serving, the right spirit, the spirit of doing God's work as God's people. God has called us to do His work. I would like to begin by telling you a short story that I have told other people. In 2003, the Lord enabled me and made it possible for me to come to Arizona, to a college there, a small college called International Baptist College, to train for the ministry. Well, those of you who have been to Kenya, you know that Kenya is, the weather is not as many people think it is. It's not so hot. The average low temperatures in Kenya is 55 degrees Fahrenheit, and the average high is 77, and it stays just around there. It stays within that range because we are right on the equator, and Nairobi, the elevation is so high. And so during the month of August, it's when I came for college, and in the month of August in Kenya, it's cold, it's chilly, it's our winter, it's very chilly. We wear heavy jackets and, you know, we walk around very cold. And so I came to Phoenix, Arizona in the month of August. I came, you know, carrying a heavy jacket and they're all dressed up and ready to go. And I remember coming outside the gate, you know, the door from the airport as I came from the plane. And really it was as if somebody was standing in front of me blowing some hot heat on my face. It was so hot, extremely hot. And I went to school, and for some time I was disgruntled, and I was unhappy. And I complained in my spirit, and I was like, why did they bring me here? Like I told people, we say in Africa, when you are so frustrated, we say, look for a cat to kill so that you can... I was looking for a cat to kill so that I could appease myself and feel good, so that I would stop being so frustrated. But there were no cats around in Arizona, so... I did not get to kill any cat. But anyhow, I was happy. Of course, the word of God was preached to me, and I was encouraged and challenged to know that I was in the right place and God had brought me there with a purpose. And so God spoke to my heart, and I knew that I needed to stay put and to do God's will. And you know, that is the right spirit, really, to do God's will. It is to know what God wants you to do and to do it with a resolve, with a commitment. Here in the book of Acts, we see Paul, the servant of God, and Timothy, of course. They are going to serve the Lord, and they are serving with the right attitude, with which we ourselves, we ought to serve the Lord. They have the spirit of not quitting. They have the spirit that is strong. I'm not talking of a strong spirit in the sense of a spirit that is arrogant, but it is a spirit that is not quitting, a spirit that is unrelenting. Spirit that says, this is God's will, I'm in God's will, and I'm going to do God's will no matter the challenges or the difficulties that I may experience. Paul and Timothy, we are told in verse 1, we see Paul before he picks up Timothy, we are told there in verse 1, and we see the strong spirit with which Paul served the Lord. In verse 1, we are told, then he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Paul comes back to Derbe and Lystra. You've got to remember what had happened earlier to Paul in the book of Acts, again, chapter number 14, verse 19. Something had happened to Paul in this same place. You remember what happened? They dragged him outside the city. They stoned him and they left him for dead. It was in the city of Lystra, there in Derbe, where they almost killed him. He goes back after this first missionary journey. And now, chapter number 16, we are seeing his second missionary journey that he starts to go again. And friends, you may mind to think and see that Paul comes back to the same place. He's back to Derbe. He's back to Lystra. The same place where he was almost killed. He doesn't quit. He has a commitment, and he knows, and he says that God has called me to do this and to declare the gospel to the people, and that's what I'm going to do no matter what. Even though the first time I was there, they rejected it and they almost killed me, and even though I knew that they did not accept it, I know that it is God's will for me to preach the gospel, and I am going to do it no matter the challenges. I'm not going to be stopped. I am not going to quit. He did that with a strong spirit, a spirit that is unrelenting. A spirit that does not quit. He goes back to the same place with a commitment. Friends, that is the same spirit with which we ought to serve the Lord. The spirit that says that, you know, even though I am witnessing and maybe people are not coming to the Lord, even though the last time I may have shared the gospel with somebody, you know, somebody may have mocked me or somebody may have rejected what I told them. Maybe somebody refused a gospel tract when I gave it to them. It is God's will for me to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am going to do it. I will not stop. Paul had a strong spirit that was unrelenting. I want you to see something else about his spirit that was not a spirit of quitting. We are told, part B of that verse, the Bible tells us that he comes to that same city and he finds Timothy. And we are told that Timothy was a fine young man, a good Christian. He was well reported of by the other believers there. The Bible tells us that Paul picked Timothy to go with him for the ministry. Again, here we see, remember in chapter number 13 and verse 13, if you want, you may write this down to look them up later. But in chapter 13 and verse number 13, we know that Paul had been disappointed by a young man. His name was John Mark. He had been disappointed. John Mark had failed him. He had taken John Mark in the first missionary journey and he had gone with him. But John Mark, for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't tell us, he just decided to quit and go back home. And Paul goes with Barnabas in that first missionary journey. They come back to the church in Antioch. And you know, if I was Paul, I don't know, Paul maybe may have thought, or maybe somebody may have thought, you know, Paul then is done with young men. You know, the first young man he picked to go with him, he failed him, he disappointed him. He did not do what he expected him to do. And maybe Paul could have just said, you know, these young men, they are not worth much. They are not worthy for me to take them, to work with them and to groom them. So I have given up on young men and I'm not going to pick them. But we see again Paul going again and picking another young man to go with him for the ministry. He does not quit on people either. He still has a resolve and a commitment that even though I failed, even though it did not work out with John Mark, I am not going to write off and, you know, close out all other young men. I am still going to pick somebody, and he picks Timothy to go out with him, and he does not give up on people. He has a spirit that does not quit, a spirit that is unrelenting. That is the spirit of serving the Lord, the spirit that does not quit, the spirit that says that I'm doing God's will, and even though it may become difficult at times, and even though I may be discouraged sometimes, I am going to continue serving the Lord and doing God's will for my life. That is the spirit of serving the Lord. That is the same spirit with which we ought to serve the Lord as God's people. You know, I was talking to a pastor one time, and he told me how one time he picked, I think, 3 young men in his church to work with. And he told me that he wanted to mentor them and groom them and, you know, develop them for the ministry. And they came and they disappointed him. They did not turn out, you know, the way he wanted them to turn out. And he told me how he had kind of closed that chapter on a young man and decided that, you know, he was not going to work with young men anymore. And, you know, I don't think that is the way we ought to be. We ought not to give up on people. We ought to know that, you know, if God has called us to serve him, we ought to serve him with a resolve. We ought not to relent and not to quit serving the Lord with that spirit of resolve and commitment that we are going to do God's will. We must have a strong spirit of serving the Lord and doing God's will. Back in Alaska, I have a pastor friend of mine, and he told me the story in his church. I visited that church. He told me how, when he went there in a small town to start a church, he had prayed and known that it was God's will for him to go with his wife and start a church there. Of course, that time it was just him and his wife. They have a son now, one child, one son. And when they started that ministry, they drove there, they went and moved into Alaska, into a little town to start a church. And they started. They knew that it was God's will to do that. And they stayed there for some time. They started, they rent a place where they were supposed to be meeting. And they started now coming on Sunday mornings for meetings, expecting people to come. They tried to do their advert so that people would know that they were in town and they were there to start a church ministry. And the pastor told me that for 9 months, nobody came to their meeting. Every Sunday morning, he would come. And this wife would sit there, and he would come with a message, and he would preach that message to his congregation, his wife. The congregation was only his wife. He did that for 9 months. He told me some of the best messages he ever preached, he preached them that time. He would come every Sunday morning, he has a message well prepared, and he would come and he would open the doors for people to come. Nobody showed up. His wife, they would sing songs, and he would take the message, go and preach to his wife as his congregation. He did that for 9 good months. No one showed up. And he said, I was committed. I knew that God wanted me to be there. And I wanted the people there to know that God had called me there to preach the gospel. And I wanted people there to know that we meant business and we were not going to quit. And they stayed. He continued preaching to his congregation of one, his wife. And he continued at the end of the 9th month. He told me that God brought 15 people. They came and started preaching, attending the services there. He continued preaching the word of God. And again, it's a long story. But you know, as we are speaking right now, that is a good, thriving church. I was there last month. It's a good church. It's a church that is growing. It's one of the churches that supports our work back in Africa. And not only us, it's a church that is supporting missionaries around the world. The spirit of serving the Lord is not a spirit of quitting. The spirit of saying that, you know, it may have not worked here. It may not be working right now, but this is God's will for me to be a witness for the Lord. And I am going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to relent. I will do what God wants me to do. That is the spirit of serving the Lord, a strong spirit, serving the Lord. That's what we see in the life of Paul and in his ministry. We are going to see number two, that Paul served the Lord not only with a strong spirit, not only with a spirit that was unrelenting, but they served the Lord with a spirit that was submissive, a submissive spirit, a strong spirit, but also a submissive spirit. In verse 3 through verse 8, the Bible tells us that Paul picks Timothy in verse 3, and then he would have him circumcised, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And they went through the cities, they delivered the word of God, what they had been taught by the apostles. They did this with a submissive spirit. Friends, if we are going to serve the Lord and be effective in our ministry, we must serve the Lord not only with a strong spirit, but we must also do it with a submissive spirit. Here we see Timothy. Timothy is a young man, and I am sure we all know that we have the Judaizers of that time, the teachers who were teaching that, you know, for the Gentiles to be saved, they must be circumcised. And of course, we know that was not true. That is not true. That is not a requirement from the Word of God. And yet, the Bible tells us that Paul goes to Timothy and he tells him, Timothy, I'm, of course, paraphrasing this just the way it's said here in the Bible. He takes Timothy, the Bible tells us that he gets him circumcised. And he tells him, Timothy, you know, for the sake of the testimony, for the sake of you being an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be circumcised. Otherwise, the Jewish people are not going to receive your witness. You will not be effective. I don't know about a lot of people, but I can imagine Timothy being a young man. Maybe he would have looked at the Bible. Maybe he would have listened to the apostles what had been taught. The Bible, of course, that time was not awful written. But maybe Timothy could have thought and say, well, Paul, where do you get that from? Where does the Bible require that I need to be circumcised? Show me from the Bible. But yet, he did it anyway. Even though the Bible did not require it. Timothy did it. He submitted to the needs of the people that he was supposed to minister to. He said, even though the Bible does not require it, if it's going to make me to be more effective in my witness, I'm willing to give it up and do it for the sake of the needs of the people that I want to meet. Do you know that is the spirit of humility, the spirit of serving the Lord, is the spirit that says, you know, I do not need to hold on to this thing. If it is becoming a problem, if it is not helping me to be an effective witness, I have the liberty to let it go so that I can be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy had the humility to say, of course the Bible may not require it, but Paul, my leader, Paul who gives me godly guidance, he thinks that this is going to hurt my ministry, And so I'm going to submit to the guidance of this godly man. And he submitted to the leadership of Paul. And he said, I'm willing to do it. He submitted to the needs of the people that he was supposed to minister to. He submitted to the authority of a godly man who was working with him and who was working under. But also I want you to see that both these men also, they had the spirit of submissiveness. They were submissive. You know, I was thinking many times, I don't know about here, but in Nairobi, where Nairobi is becoming so modern and a lot of influence with the computers and TV and a lot of things from the West, from America and Europe. And we are seeing a generation that is coming up in my country of young people who don't regard the counsel of godly men. You know, when they are told something, maybe by their pastors or their leaders, their church leaders, they will question that by their parents and they say, when does the Bible require that? You know, it is the spirit of humility that says, I will submit to godly leadership. I will submit to godly authority. And we see Timothy doing that. But both these men also, they submitted to the authority. Notice there in verse 5, we are told that in verse 4, both of them, they went through the cities. They delivered to them the decrees to keep that were ordained for the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So the churches were established in verse 5. Paul and Timothy, they have a very submissive spirit in that as they go serving the Lord, something comes out very clear to us here that they are submitting to the authority of other men. Remember, Paul and Barnabas, they have been to Jerusalem in chapter number 15, the book of Acts. And there they had gone and taken with the Jerusalem Council, if you know, with the apostles being there, Peter, James, and John. The Judaizers, those who were teaching that, you know, people must be circumcised, the Gentiles must be circumcised in order to be saved. They had gone to the church that was at Antioch, which was mainly Gentiles. And they had required that of the Gentiles. And of course, Paul and Barnabas, they go to Jerusalem, they seek the council there. They are told by the leaders there, by the apostles, you go to the Gentiles and tell them this, that they don't need to be circumcised in order to be saved. Only ask them not to eat meat offered to idols and then also not to eat blood. But they are saved by faith in Christ, just like the way the Jewish people are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that they went, Paul and Timothy, they go delivering this message that they have been given by the apostles. I want you to think about this. You think of Paul. Who was Paul? Paul was an apostle himself. A man who had apostolic authority. A man who had a lot of experiences, maybe like the other apostles, if not more. Paul was not a man to tell what to go around preaching. He was not the kind of a person to say, Paul, when you go here, go and preach this to these people. When you go here, tell them this. He was an apostle himself. But yet Paul submits to the authority of other godly men. You know, that is the spirit of serving the Lord. Whereby godly men submit to other men. Where people, Christians, submit to other Christians. In the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. The spirit of humility, the spirit of submissiveness, submitting to one another. That's how we serve the Lord. Spirit of submission. Paul submits to other men, to other Christians, to other believers. Even though he himself had the authority to preach the gospel. We know he preached the gospel. But he goes around the churches and he is delivering the message that had been given to him by the apostles. Not only that, again, we see as he went submitting to the authority of the needs of the people that they were serving, submitting to each other. And also we see that he's submitting also to the word of God, the apostolic doctrine, the message that he was given by the apostles, the word of God itself. If we are going to serve the Lord, we must be submitted to the authority of the word of God. We must have a spirit that submits to the needs of the people that we are trying to serve. What are their needs? What can we do to reach them? What is it that we need to do so that we can reach them? We must have the spirit of submitting to one another. We must have the spirit of submitting to godly authority. We also submit to the word of God itself. What the Bible says. But also I want you to see another way in which these men were submissive. The Bible says in verse 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they assailed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And passing by, Mysia came down to Troas. There, what are they doing? They are following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And they are submitting to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They go to this place and the Holy Spirit of God says, no, not that place. And they go here and the Holy Spirit of God says, no, not that place. And the Holy Spirit of God says, this is the place I would like for you to go. And there they follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, believers, if we are going to serve the Lord effectively, if we are going to be effective in our witness, if we are going to be effective in our ministry and in our service to the Lord, we must do that as we submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We must submit to His leading. We must go on our knees and beg God and say, God, we want Your will and nothing else and Your will. And that's what we want to do. We submit to the Holy Spirit of God. We submit to godly authority, godly leadership. We submit to the Word of God. We submit to the needs of one another. We submit to each other. We submit to the needs of the people we are serving. But also we submit to the Holy Spirit of God as He leads, as He uses the Word of God to lead us. We submit to that. No wonder the Bible says here that the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Isn't that what happens? When God's people serve the Lord with a resolve, without quitting, when God's people continue witnessing and living for the Lord with a commitment, when they do that with a commitment, without relenting, without quitting, and we serve the Lord without quitting, faithfully we serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord with a submissive spirit. The Bible says that the churches were strengthened, and believers were added into the church. But lastly, I want you to see the spirit of serving the Lord. Not only is it a strong spirit with which we serve the Lord, that is an unrelenting spirit, we serve the Lord with a submissive spirit. And lastly, we serve the Lord with a spirit that seizes every opportunity that God gives us. Spirit that is seizing or takes over every opportunity, jumps at the opportunities that God gives us, with a spirit that seizes every opportunity that the Lord gives us. The Bible tells us in verse 9 and 10, the same chapter, the Bible says, and a vision when they are now in Troas, they have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, somebody may wonder, why was God not allowing them to go to these other places in Bithynia and in these other places in Mysia? Why are they? By the way, do you know that God eventually led somebody there? We do not know who. But eventually we see that there were churches established in the region of Bithynia. We see Peter later writing to the churches in Bithynia. You know, somebody went there and preached the gospel. Well, if the Lord doesn't want you to do something here, He has something else that He wants you to do. And of course, somebody else, God will have him do the other thing. You know, the thing is we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. We do what He wants us to do. But then also we must have a spirit that seizes every opportunity that God gives us. The Bible tells us that they saw a vision. In verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. God made this with that time through this vision to Paul and his group. And they see a vision. And the Bible says, of course, we believe here Luke has joined them. And the Bible says, because there we see him saying we. And then verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, gathering or being convinced that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He said, immediately we knew that this was God's will. We jumped at it. We did not hesitate. We did not take more time. All we wanted to know was, is it God's will? And when God made it clear, we were right there to do it. The Bible says once we knew that it was God's will, we endeavor to do that right away. You know, we serve the Lord by seizing every opportunity that He lays on our way. We take it up. We serve the Lord. When I was in college, there was a man there, a man of God, who was very active, involved in evangelism, and he was teaching us personal evangelism. He had a program that he called Now, N-O-W. No opportunity wasted. And you know, I believe many times God's people waste opportunities that God brings our way. You know, as God's people, we ought to seize every opportunity that God brings our way. It could be that person we work with. It could be a student maybe we are at school with. It could be somebody we know. And we allow so many opportunities just to pass us on the way and we let them go. But Paul, here with this group, they say, immediately we knew that this was God's will. We jumped at it and we grasped that opportunity and used it. And we did it. We did what God wanted us to do. We jumped at that opportunity. I'll tell you, you know, about as Paul served the Lord and he went on doing that and he obeyed the Lord and he had that spirit of not quitting, even though it was difficult, even though he had faced challenges, even though he had been stoned, he goes back to Derbe preaching the same message where he had been stoned. He did not say, you know, there, those people, I don't go back to them. Even though he had been challenged, he goes back with a strong, unrelenting spirit. He has a submissive spirit that submits to the Holy Spirit of God, to the Word of God, and to other godly men, and submitting to the needs of the people he was wanting to serve. And he seizes the opportunity that God gives him. You can read the rest of the chapter, and this is what you find. You'll find that at the end of the chapter, in chapter number 16, a number of things happen. History has it that, you know, Pharisees. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee before the Lord saved him on the road to Damascus. History has it that Pharisees were very proud people. Of course, we know that from the Bible. Very self-righteous people. The Pharisees would wake up every morning and they would beat up their chest and say, oh, I praise God. I am not a woman. They, you know, women in that culture and time, they were very despised and looked down upon people. And so Pharisees would say, oh, I praise God, I'm not a woman. And they would say, I praise God that I'm not a slave. I praise God that I'm not a Gentile. Those were the three groups of people that were highly despised and disregarded, looked down upon. Women, slaves, and Gentiles. If you read the rest of that chapter, this is what you find. God leads Paul into great opportunities. He goes to Philippi and God extends his ministry. He goes to Philippi, and we know when they get to Philippi, what happens? A woman by the name Lydia comes to the Lord and gets saved. Paul continues being there, and there is a slave girl who tells Fortune, and she's following Paul and the group saying, these are the men who tell us the good news. These are the men who tell us the way of life. She's demon-possessed. And the Bible says how Paul turned around, being used of the Holy Spirit of God, he cast away the demons. And that slave girl gets saved. Isn't that interesting? God saves a woman. It's God teaching Paul something, and God saves a slave. The men there, the people there who are getting, making money, merchandise with, out of that slave girl, they get so infuriated with Paul, they take him, put him into prison. We know the story at night in that Philippian jail. They are praising God and singing at night. And at night, the Holy Spirit of God, God shakes the prison gate and they are wide open. And we know what happened. The jailer was a Roman Gentile. A Gentile gets saved. What an interesting story of what God can do with us when we are submitted to his will. When we are doing that without relenting. When we are serving the Lord with a commitment. When we are doing that with a submissive spirit. When we are doing that with a spirit that seizes every opportunity that God gives us. God saves a woman. God saves a slave. God saves a Gentile. Do you know, in my view, I would imagine that those were the people maybe Paul least expected that he will ever see them come to the Lord. But yet the Lord did it. Do you know that God can do that with us? Do you know that God can use us to see people we never thought that they will ever come to the Lord? Drunkards and people, you know, and the people who are so perverted in their ways. You know, God can use us to see them come to the Lord. People we never think that they can come to the Lord, you know, God can use you and I as we serve him with that kind of a spirit, without relenting, without quitting, with a submissive spirit to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit of God, to the needs of the people we are trying to reach. If we do that with a spirit that is seizing every opportunity, God can use us to do that. I'll finish with a very short story. Back in my country, we have a young man we work with. He's there serving in our church with us. And he's also teaching, he's also involved at the Bible College. Wesley and Joanna, they know him, Philip. Philip now is like the registrar in our college. He sits there at the desk. And Philip is so upbeat and so excited about taking opportunities that God gives us. Few months ago, I was invited to go to speak in a public high school where I went to school in my former high school to preach the good news. And when I talked to the principal, I told the principal, if you ask me to come, just know that if I come and speak to the students, we are going to show the cinema, yes, but I'll also preach the gospel. The principal says, yeah, you are welcome to come. So I decided to go. But before I decided to go, I kind of developed cold feet. And I said to Philip, you know, Philip, you know, I've been invited to go here, but I just think that that would be too much for us. Remember, we have the church here, and remember, we have the ministry of the college, and, you know, my family, and so many other things that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm so busy. I don't think that it will be so, it will work for us to go now. And Philip looked at me, and I think he called me aside and said, Brother Josiah, that's an opportunity God has opened for us to go to a public high school to preach the good news. I said, no, Philip, you don't understand. You don't understand how much work I have, and you don't understand it's a long way. It's 105 miles to go there. And you know, how are we going to do this ministry effectively? Philip was not relenting. He said, no, brother, we cannot let that opportunity go. We can't waste that opportunity. We must go. We have been given that opportunity. I said, oh, Philip, you don't understand. Philip was unrelenting, and Philip convinced me to go. Called the principal and said, we are going to come. We went there. We showed Jesus film, Jesus of Nazareth film in Swahili. We presented the gospel in a very simple way. That night, at least 25 students came forward and they said, we want to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have been going back there with Philip to meet with them, to disciple them. Friends, we do not have to let opportunities pass by us. Philip taught me something. No opportunities wasted. No relenting. That's how we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord with a spirit that is unrelenting. We serve the Lord with a spirit that is submissive. We serve the Lord with a spirit that is seizing, that seizes every opportunity that God gives us. That's how the Lord wants us to serve him. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, for teaching me about serving you with a spirit that is not ready to quit, so long as I know that I'm doing God's will, even though the sometimes there are discouragement and challenges. Thank you for teaching me that, Lord, I need to have a submissive spirit that submits to the needs of the people that I'm ministering to understand their needs and to submit to them. Lord, not to be arrogant and proud and to say that I'm going to do what pleases me. Lord, also, I pray that you may help me to submit to the Word of God also, and to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that, Lord, you may help us as your people also to have a spirit that seizes every opportunity that you give us. Thank you for the privilege to speak to your people tonight. Help us, Lord, to honor you by serving you with the right spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name.